Open up that Crystal Pepsi and get comfortable.
This is Dope Nostalgia.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dope Nostalgia Podcast. I'm your host, Naomi Carmack. My special guest today is a very old friend. He's not old. We're both old. But we were about the same age. So we grew up in the same era and liked a lot of the same music. But we've known each other for many years. And he's become a huge success in training and helping people with their physical fitness, helping people learn about different types of combat, things like that over the years. What he's currently working on is called RandyKingLive.com. He helps people learn how to protect themselves, how to personally protect themselves, set boundaries, conflict communication, awareness and detection, and team building. He's helping people take care of themselves so that they don't get hurt. But, you know, the world's not exactly the safest place right now. So if you want more information on what Randy can do to help you out, you got to go to RandyKingLive.com. Now, Randy and I got together to discuss a band that we both grew up on. They're a Canadian band, and they're pretty damn big here in Canada. They're called Our Lady Peace. So here's the Wikipedia info on the band.
Wikipedia moment.
Please bear in mind that Wikipedia is not to be taken as actual 100% fact. Any donkey could edit it at any time. If I'm reading you the artist's bio, that stuff is the real truth.
Our Lady Peace, sometimes shortened to OLP, is a Canadian rock band formed in Toronto, Ontario in 1992. Led by lead vocalist Rain Maida since its formation, the band currently also features Duncan Coutts on bass, Steve Mazur on guitars, and Jason Pierce on drums. The band has sold several million albums worldwide, won 4 Juno Awards, and won 10 Much Music Video Awards, the most MMVAs ever awarded to a band, but tied with Billy Talent. 19 of their singles have reached the top 10 on one of Canada's singles charts. Between 1996 and 2016, Our Lady Peace was the third best-selling Canadian band and the ninth best-selling Canadian artist overall in Canada. Our Lady Peace has released 10 studio albums, one live album, and two compilation albums, with their debut, 1994's Navid, having reached quadruple platinum in Canada. Navid contains their breakthrough single Starseed. Now, 1997's album Clumsy, which reached number one in Canada, is considered their signature and most widely recognized work. Clumsy was certified as diamond in sales in Canada, with its title track reaching number one on Canada's singles chart, and its lead single, Superman's Dead, reaching number two on Canada's alternative rock chart. Since then, 1999 brought Happiness Is Not a Fish That You Can Catch. Its singles One Man Army and Is Anybody Home reached number one and number two on Canada's alternative rock chart. The band's first four albums are often praised for their unique sound and style, with singer Maida being called erratic and truly unrivaled as a vocalist. So their fifth album, Gravity, came out in 2002, and it's considered to be a radical departure from OLP's distinctive style. Maida confirmed the change, calling Gravity vastly different from their previous records. But it was still huge. Huge singles called Somewhere Out There and Innocent came out and charted number one and number two once again on Canada's singles chart. They're a huge band here, let me say that. There's a lot more to learn about Our Lady Peace. And let's invite Randy King to the show to talk all about it.
How's it going?
Good. It's been so long.
It has been so long. I agree.
All right. Well, I'll just get into it. Randy King, welcome to Dope Nostalgia. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, we're old friends. We go way, yes. way back. Yeah. And you've had so many exciting things going on in life since the last time we connected. So, I mean, you're very busy. Right?
I was, and then I wasn't over COVID, and now I am again. So there was a lull, but no, yeah, I'm pretty active, and I like to get a lot of stuff done. So.
Good. Well, I'd love you to tell our listeners about what you're up to, your podcast, your business, everything.
Sure. So I am a reality-based self-defense coach, and I am lucky enough to speak literally all over the world. So my brag reel is like I've spoken in 80 cities in 14 countries, yada, yada, on the topic of personal protection, self-defense for mostly the civilian space. So like regular people, while I have taught military and police agencies, I really do like working with everyday people, helping them feel more safe. So I do that through multiple platforms. I have a book coming out, wink at some point in time. I have my podcast, Self Defense from All Angles, which you can access for free. Probably wherever you get this, you can get that. And I do seminars for corporations and gym spaces and that kind of stuff.
That's incredible
Yeah, it's great.
and
I love it.
helpful. Like it's got to be gratifying work to help people the way you do.
It is 100%. Like I'm it's going to shock listeners when they hear me, even though I'm a little under caffeinated right now. I used to be in sales for a long time. And while sales was good for my wallet and bank account, it wasn't great for the world. And so when I got into the self-defense space, especially the people that I work with, because I work with a lot of underprivileged people, people in bad situations, leaving partners or living in lower socioeconomic areas. The value of that is what gets me going. It's what gets me out of bed, right? It's actually helping people feel better about life. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And so with the podcast too, do you have guests on there or
Yeah, that's entirely what the show's about. So, the joke I like to make is I know all my stories, so I don't want to hear those. I want to hear your story. So, what I do is I bring people on. In this iteration of the podcast, I've had a couple. This one, I talk to people who are actually in the self-protection space. So, people that are currently working, right? I was a bouncer for 11 years, but I haven't been a bouncer in 10 years. So, for me to be like, here's what bouncing should be like is kind of disingenuous. So, the people that I bring on are people that are actively in the space. We've had sex workers, we've had Instagram models, we've had security guards, we had a drug dealer on the show who was all like we blocked out his identity, but he did a two-parter explaining the drug industry, like just really taking a hard look at self-defense in the real world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's been fun so
So,
far.
no doubt. So, in all these years, of course, I haven't seen you. When I first met you, that's what you were doing. You were bouncing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Very much so. I'm just going to pull up some Wikipedia here on the side on the subject at hand today.
Sounds good.
Letting everybody know, especially our American listeners, because there's quite a few. We do
Oh, hello.
we do tend to have a lot of Canadian acts on the show, which I'm really happy to fill them in about their careers in music, because some of these guys do have hits in the States.
Right.
They just might not remember. Now, I'm pretty sure Our Lady Peace has touched down in the States with
Oh, for
at least
sure.
college radio.
They opened for like Zeppelin and like a bunch of big bands too. So people might have seen, may have forgotten who they were, but they probably saw them opening for their favorite bands.
That's a very good point.
And we used to do we do a game when I travel called DJ S'more Songs. I got it from my friend Casey, and it's you put on some of your favorite songs and always the Canadiana stuff. They're like, I've never heard of this. Like, who's Holly McNarland? What is happening right now? Right. So I really like so music's very important to me, obviously. And it's very fun to like expose people from other countries. And same thing, I was in Denmark. Have you heard of this band? I'm like, no, of course not. Why would I have heard of them? Right. So it's nice to like culturally trade art.
Oh man, 100%. Man, have you ever? So you've been into Denmark. Have you ever been to a European music festival?
I have not. No, sadly, I when I go when I'm traveling, I'm working, so I haven't really got like I vacation. I see stuff like I've seen castles and all the cool stuff, but like I'm always working when the other events are happening. So like when a festival would be happening, that's what my seminar is. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's some of the, obviously you're working, but where's some of the more exciting places you've gone in your memory that's really stand out?
Sure. We were in Sofia, Bulgaria. That was pretty crazy. That was a fun experience. I went to Prague. Prague is nuts. I really liked the, I really like Czech and the whole area. It was cool. I went to the, there's a bone cathedral outside of Prague, and it's like actual human bones, but it's like artwork. If you were on acid, it would be like the ultimate place to go. Cause it's like crazy. Like they have like a giant chandelier of bones, like Google Bone Chapel Czech, and you'll see it. But I got to go to it. So that was really cool. I'm a huge fan of Scotland. Edinburgh is my favorite city. One second. Edinburgh is my favorite city on the planet. So that's one of my favorite places. Where else? I was in the Philippines for a couple months too. That was pretty interesting.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I think I actually remember you saying something about that.
Being in the Philippines. Was 2011. So I think I was still out and about. I wasn't hiding in my house and traveling. So.
Yeah. So, well, tell me about the self-defense like business in town too. For those who are local listeners, where can they go and learn more about your company and brand too?
Sure. There isn't anything local, to be honest. I do mostly satellite stuff. So there might be something in the future coming up, but I can't really talk about it yet. So it's not good to promote. But yeah, just look up randykinglive.com or Randy King Live and you'll find everything you need about me.
Wonderful. Okay. So yes, we are going to talk about Our Lady Peace today. Slowly getting there. How did you discover this band in the first place?
So Our Lady Peace was actually the first concert I ever went to. And that's why when you sent me the list of bands, like, oh, I have a story about that. And I have actually a story about working security for Our Lady Peace. So I figured this would be interesting to talk about. But I remember I was 15 or 16. And I invited a friend who is now my best friend to a party at my house. It was a birthday party. And he brought a gift. And he was like, hey, I got you these concert tickets. And he was super introverted and socially awkward. And I'm the opposite. So I was like, oh, thanks. I appreciate it. And he was like, well, have a good time. I'm like, dude, I'm bringing you. Like, what are you thinking? Right. But he was just so like, you have to bring a gift to a party. And it was this band I'd never heard of, Our Lady Peace. And of course, you can see the gray in my beard if you're watching the video. There wasn't like Spotify or like internet searches, you could just look up these bands. You had to kind of know about them or hear them on the radio. And the benefit of, I don't know, benefit or negative, depending on your view of Canadian broadcasting, is they have to play Canadian content. So I had heard the band. I didn't know anything about them. And I'd never been to a concert. So after that first experience, Our Lady Peace set themselves up in my head as one of my top bands because, you know, the live show, as everybody knows, is where it's at, right? Almost all bands are 10 times better live. And so we went to the show and we bonded. The guy is my best friend. He was the best man at my wedding, all because of Our Lady Peace. So I was very happy to talk about it when you brought it up.
No kidding. Almost life connections.
Yeah.
No, I'd love to hear all the stories. So I would say I like that you talked about how we didn't have Spotify and all that and everything was from the radio because this band was very heavily played in Canadian radio and still is to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have a huge catalog of music at this point. They first formed in Toronto in 1992.
Right.
I feel like they haven't been around as long as they actually have.
But and it's crazy to me too, because they just released an album in 2022, like Spiritual Machines 2 came out in 2022. I was like, oh my, they're still going? Like, I didn't even know, but they've been around for, I would say, all my formative years for sure.
They've definitely had somewhat of a rotating door.
Yeah.
There's definitely been a lot of the original. Rain Maida is the only original member of the group at this point.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, as far as I can see from what it shows me here, they've had, thanks Wikipedia, they've had 7 past members in the band.
That makes sense. It's kind of funny too, because Rain, the story is Rain only changed his name to differentiate himself from the other Mark in the band. And now he's not even remotely related to it. This guy's Rain Maida forever now.
Two mics. He had to change that.
Yeah.
Ooh, which reminds me, I had a little thing I bookmarked. Sorry.
That's okay.
That was one of the interesting facts in my bookmark.
I thought it was interesting. I was like, oh, that's because I did a little homework. I'm not this big of an OLP fan. I did a little homework. And I was like, oh, that's a fun little tidbit.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a lot more about the music than maybe all the background stories.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
definitely think that Our Lady Peace was like, they were the right band at the right time for me. They were kind of that like alternative rock scene. And I really got into that at my, at like in my formative years. They became almost an anthem for my, the parties of high school, right? Mm-hmm. When we do like rotations and stuff. So, and I think they really moved that, to me at least, I don't know culturally, but for me, they really exposed me to a whole new type of music, right? Because I was more of a top 40 person back then, kind of, you know, blending with the crowd. Music really wasn't important. And then I heard Starseed, and I was like, oh, I'm feeling feelings. This is something. I want to go hit a thing or whatever, right? And it was really cool to have that energy. And then from there, it just, you know, branched off into my musical taste. But it really started with Our Lady Peace.
Yeah, Starseed, Navi, that song. I just remember my introduction to them was obviously radio, but then my sister had that CD. And my sister didn't get a lot of CDs. I was the musical one in the family. I'm the one who had all of everything. Okay. But she had her small selection, and she loved that disc. And I remember at the time not being that excited about it. I was just like, I wasn't sure about Rain's voice.
Right.
But it's very distinct. It's something that grew on me over time because he's a very unique vocalist.
He agreed. And I would say exact same thing. When I first like heard it before, when I was prepping for the concert, I was like, all right, this is all right. But then live, like, because he throws, and I know all musicians do this, but the emotion in his voice, because his voice is so unique, it's really easy to identify when he's coming up and when he's coming down, a lot more to me, at least, than other bands where, you know, they're talented because they're talented. I'm not saying Rain's not talented, but they're talented all the time. So like, oh, it's always kind of good. But him, like, you can tell when he's having a good show and when he's having a bad show. And I that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I never really thought about that like that. But the distinction is like, you absolutely know it's Our Lady Peace when you hear them. And it's generally, that's the reason why. Now, the band has their own sound too, of course, with their style of writing and whatnot. What do you think is your favorite album that they put out in the 90s?
Clumsy was an album, right? I think Clumsy was the one, like, that was their second one, I think, or first, I'm not sure. But that one had, like, all the ones, like, when I think of Our Lady Peace, those are the songs that come to head. Like, and I might be wrong because I don't know the discography as well, but, like, Automatic Flowers was super good.
That's a great song.
Yeah. There's a ton, but definitely their first couple, I think, were the majors for me. Their newer stuff, you know, he's grown as an artist in a different direction. It's not on my playlist as often as possible, but like Automatic Flowers, Starseed, that kind of stuff is always on there. Superman's Dead. Is that them? That's them, right?
Superman's Dead. And honestly, that's one I think is their most memorable. One of their most memorable hits.
That's a great song.
Yeah. And that came out on Clumsy. Clumsy was the second album that came out in 1997.
Yeah, that's the one. Like, I think for me, Clumsy is, when I think Our Lady Peace, I think Clumsy, that album. Yeah, I think almost all the bangers are on that one.
Will you worry that you're not liked? How long till you break? You're happy because you smile, but how much can you fake? An ordinary boy, an ordinary name. Ordinary is just not good enough today. And now, alone, 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 alone. I'm thinking, why?
It wasn't until later where some of their other big hits came out, like Is Anybody Home?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was off 1999's Happiness Is Not a Fish That You Can Catch.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Yes. One song that came out later was called Innocent. Innocent and Somewhere Out There were both huge hits as well.
Yeah, Somewhere Out There, I remember for sure. And I'm sure Innocent, I remember if I heard it, but Somewhere Out There was big.
And they're both hugely played on radio to this day.
Yeah, that's true. Especially here in Canada.
They're the kind of, especially here in Canada. But they're the kind of band too, that they, at this point, they've had so many radio hits that
you start to kind of get confused as to when something came out because there's just a lot of material.
Absolutely. And right, like, especially then, like, I wasn't cataloging what album. I was like, oh, I like that song. That's really a piece, right? So they became, the band became bigger than the project for me. The band became bigger than the album. So I'm like, it's all those Our Lady Peace songs. I don't remember where it was, but I know I like it.
I seen them live once, and it wasn't that long ago. It was 2017. They opened for Guns N' Roses at Commonwealth Stadium. Did you not go to that show?
No, I didn't.
Did you know what happened?
No, I don't.
It happened, like, because first of all, I was just like,
I did not know.
I thought it was odd to see Our Lady Peace open for somebody.
Yeah, that is strange.
I guess, but in Canada, it's strange. I feel like.
Yeah.
But
it's Guns N' Roses, so it's
Guns
acceptable.
Guns N' Roses. Yes, exactly. So I'm thinking they must love that they got this gig.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing that I thought was not many people were really paying attention to them.
Right.
And I'm like, do you guys know who's on stage right now?
Yeah.
Like, this is like a huge band. And I remember Rain making a comment, something about, like, he was being super modest about the whole event and just being making a comment. Like, I know who your guys are actually here to see.
Right.
Kind of comment. And I'm just like, oh, you guys don't undersell yourselves.
I do think, though, like, the Guns N' Roses crowd is kind of that classic hair metal, like, rock. And Our Lady Peace is a little bit more out there. So I can understand where they'd be like, yeah, I get it. Maybe you're not your cup of tea. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I remember when, do you remember the big festivals here in Canada, in Edmonton, around Edmonton? There was Edgefest was here in the city, but it was Boomstock, I think, that was outside the city. Do you remember that?
Very much so. Yeah.
So I worked Boomstock one year, and Our Lady Peace was one of the major bands. I think they were headlining. Yeah, Nickelback was there before they got big. It was like, you know, everybody's coming through. And my favorite story about Our Lady Peace is Rain Maida is a wild man. He's just like, he is who he appears to be. Like, he's an artist all the way, thinks three-dimensionally different than most people. Mm-hmm. And I remember very vividly, because I was in charge of the front part, making sure he didn't go into the crowd. And he was standing on my shoulder a lot. And then he used me to springboard into the crowd. And as this was happening, a thunderstorm was coming in, like lightning and everything. He went to the sound tower. So for the listeners, if you're not watching, I'm using my hands here a lot. There'll be a stage in front of you. Then usually behind, there's like the engineers and the controls and all the towers. He body surfed all the way to the tower. In the lightning storm, climbed up the tower and was singing a song. And we're like, get down for liability reasons, right? And he doesn't care. He's dripping wet, singing his song. And like that moment was so iconic for me. And it really solidified. Like Rain Maida is just a badass. And I really enjoyed it.
I never imagined him to be a wild guy.
He was wild then. I don't know. Maybe not anymore. But
that's exciting.
We were trying to get, there's lightning. And he was on this giant, like, literal lightning rod. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
No, it's not your time to go, man.
Yeah, he did not care at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always thought of him that being a little bit more subdued, but maybe not. Maybe it's just like, you know, when you think of Rain Maida in now in context with his life and what he does out there, him and his wife, you know, the amazing and also popular, talented artist, Chantal Kravyasik.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't picture him being so wild. That's why. But I guess.
But again, it was the early 2000s. Maybe people grow and change, right? Like maybe single, wild, going through a breakup. Who knows what was going through his head that day? But it was a crazy, it's a core memory for me for sure.
Oh, no doubt. Like, but yeah, you know, like you were saying, these guys were like, when you think of big shiny tunes, you think,
oh, what a that, of Our Lady that just opened Peace. Up a you unlock memories with big shiny tunes. Keep going. Sorry,
just we've just unlocked a new level. Yes, but yeah, like that. This is the band that you would think of. So
exactly,
I can understand too. Going back to the Guns N' Roses thing, it is a different type of rock and roll.
Yeah, Much Music definitely made a lot of money off of Our Lady Peace. That's for sure.
They gave them a lot of press, a lot of exposure,
and helped
grow that brand. Yes.
I agree.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hi. If you enjoy Dope Nostalgia, thank you.
Consider becoming a Patreon subscriber today for as little as a dollar a month. It helps keep the show on the air and rolling. So if you want to check out our Patreon, it's at patreon.com/dopenostalgia. $1 a month, and you'll be helping support one of your favorite podcasts.
What's up, everyone? This is Eric, and I'm one of the hosts of Somewhere in Time podcast. Somewhere in Time is a podcast that takes a look back at hard rock and metal albums celebrating milestone anniversaries. Join me, Tim, Joe, and Keith as we travel back to the 90s, 80s, and 70s and revisit albums we grew up with, but also albums that we may have missed or our guests may have recommended. A new episode of our podcast is released every 2 weeks and can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're also on YouTube at Somewhere in Time Podcast. Visit somewhereintimepodcast.com to learn more about our podcast. All of our episodes are streaming here, dating back to 2018, as well as links to our Facebook and Instagram pages. We have a lot of love for all things rock and metal, so give us a listen and get caught somewhere in time.
Big, shiny tunes. Much Music presents 18 bands in one delicious serving, including Fun, Love, and Criminals. Running around. Portal for Pyros, No Doubts, Sloan, Poe, The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Moist, Better Than Ezra, Radiohead, plus nine more. Much Music's Big Shiny Tunes, 18 tracks, one low price. In stores now.
Hey everybody, I'm Rick Campanelli, and you're listening to the Dope Nostalgia Podcast.
Oh, Johnny wishes he was famous. Spends his time alone in the basement with a Lennon and Cobain and a guitar and a stereo. Well, he wishes he could escape this, but it all seems so contagious. Not to be yourself and faceless in a song that has no soul. I remember feeling low.
If I were to think of a favorite song by them, I go, it's not a deep cut because it's a single, but it's not as well of a known song, and it's called Thief.
I like Thief. That's a good song.
Yeah.
It's an emotional one. It's a little slower. I like that one.
If you were to pick a song that's more of a deep cut.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask. I knew you were going to ask me this. I knew there was going to be a deep cut question.
I go into deep cuts almost every show. So,
and I looked and to be, I could give you an answer, but it'd be disingenuous. Like, I wanted to look cool. I don't really have any on my own. I don't really have any deep cuts. I think like the singles they chose were great. I really enjoyed all of them, but like one that will always be on a playlist is definitely, like I said, Starseed. That song gets me pumped up, even though it was giantly successful. Mm-hmm. And Automatic Flowers. I don't know what it is about that song. And I know we already talked about it, but that one is just like, it's a moment for me. And I really, when I hear, I'm like, oh, that this song just like soothes whatever part of me needs to be soothed at that moment.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I'm going to play a clip of it so our listeners can hear it, especially you Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Some of you know, some of you are cool, I'm sure.
She's daddy once before. She's crazy. A pop-up book of flowers from grateful are driving.
Yes, yes. So there's two past members of the group that went on to do other things that were quite memorable, like Mike Turner and Jeremy Taggart. Are those names familiar to you?
Yeah, Mike Turner is the other founding member of the band. That's why Rain changed his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did they? Right. I don't know what they did after, though.
Well, Mike Turner got involved in a group called Crash Karma, which was a rock and roll alternative supergroup.
Oh, okay.
I believe that Edwin from I Mother Earth was the singer of Crash Karma.
Oh, right. Yes. I Mother Earth. Have you done an episode on that show? That group? That's
not yet, but it's coming.
I think, so Our Lady Peace, I think some US listeners know, I don't think I Mother Earth made it out of Canada, but to me, they were like super big.
Honestly, the two bands kind of remind me of each other. I think it's because of like there's three words in the name. They have the same kind of flow to them in the name. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know who I'd pick as my favorite. I think I like I Mother Earth maybe slightly more.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they're both so great and great songwriters.
I can see why they muddle in your head too, because like for me as well, like because they kind of also came out at the same time, they kind of got big at the same time, not anymore, but like when Linkin Park and Disturbed came out at the same time, like I always got them confused because they kind of came out the same, even though they sound vastly different now. Like Down With the Sickness came out and what other song, and I was like, oh yeah, so I Mother Earth and Our Lady Peace, I'm sure for somebody who's like not a fan, you'd be like, this is the same band or super close to, right? Like their sounds are pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you said, it's these things came out around the same time. Yes. So they probably got compared quite a bit. They probably toured together quite a bit, to be quite honest. Sure. Yes. But yeah, he actually, Jeremy Taggart, ex-drummer, he's on a podcast. He has his own podcast called Taggart's Take, which mixes interviews of bands and politicians with Taggart's personal remarks. There's another podcast he has that you might have heard of. You know Jonathan Torrens?
I do.
Yes. So Taggart and Torrens podcast. Those are, that one's actually quite popular. It comes up in my, you know, Spotify recommended playlist quite a bit.
That's funny. Jonathan Torrens, that's another like Canadiana only celebrity that if anybody in the US knows Jonathan Torrens, I'd be blown away. I guess unless you watch Trailer Park Boys. But other than that.
Oh, fuck.
Other than that, like, but he was so big. He was on every show here for a while. Like, it was crazy.
He had his talk show here on, this, I think it was on CBC.
I think so.
John O'Vision.
Yep.
The most memorable episode I remember is he brought the cast of Degrassi back together, like the original cast.
Right.
On the show. No. And he had Mr. Dress Up as a guest too. I also enjoyed that.
That's awesome. I'm not going to lie. I did not watch one episode of John O'Vision, but I knew it existed.
So I'm just looking through my notes here. Do you have any other stories you want to share? Yeah, I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, no, not really. Like I said, those are the two majors. I've seen them a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But the one that stood out the most was him climbing that tower. And then, of course, the formative me and my best friend becoming best friends at that event. I just remember because he's such an introvert. He still is. Mm-hmm. And he could not talk to a woman if his life depended on it. And I was chatting some people behind me. I was like, ah, blah, blah, blah. Like making up like we've been fans of Our Lady Peace forever. He was. So I was like, I do this thing. I like to do a sports event. So I'm not a sports guy where I just like repeat what the announcer says. So it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. And so with him, cause he was so quiet, he would say an Our Lady Peace fact. And then I would tell the girls thinking to make me look smart. Right. That was the move. And then I would go back and get another fact from him and then go back and do it. So it was very fun. And that was at, I guess it's the Coliseum, I guess the best way to put it, before we got Rogers Place. Mm-hmm. And just the whole experience of like my first concert and so many first moments of like seeing a crowd like that wasn't a sporting event and, you know, merch lines. And like, it was just such a crazy experience for me. I just had such a good time. And I can't even remember who opened for them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be weird if it was I Mother Earth, but I feel like it was somebody like that before them. I would have to look, but I don't even remember the openers. All I remember is like, they really blew me out of the water, the light show. And this was kind of at their peak. Like they were really getting big. Like I think their second album had just released and they were like really on that upward part of the roller coaster. Right.
Yes. They are one. I'd say they're one of the best Canadian selling bands of all time. They're so popular in Canada.
I would
at least they were during that time.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's some facts about them.
They're no 3 Days Grace. 3 Days Grace is crazy for Canada, but they're definitely up there on the alt rock scene, I would think.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Huge. Huge. Interesting facts about Our Lady Peace that you may not know.
Yes.
Okay. So their name comes from the Catholic Church.
They all attended. They were called, they were called If or It first, right?
As If.
As If, yes.
As If. Yeah, I always wondered about the name. I'm like, are they super Catholic? Like, what's happening with this name?
Yeah. And so I think you're looking at the same sheet I was looking at, but I only know that one. I didn't read all the way through. But what's funny, Naomi, is I didn't equate Our Lady Peace to religion at all. Like, it was such a weird disconnect because their music was so like spiritual and metaphysical. I like to talk about like kind of that more outer worldly stuff that Our Lady Peace, while such a classic Christian type religious name, I never put the two together until this morning when I read that article. I was like, oh, duh. I feel so dumb about it.
No, it's kind of like this something sometimes we just don't really concentrate on or think about that as it being that deep.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes sense. It makes sense. And it's funny, as soon as you start talking about like metaphysical stuff, then I thought about the third band in the trifecta. I thought about the Tea Party.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, Canada, you've got these bands that are so kick-ass.
They must have put some kind of hallucinogen in the water in Toronto in the early 90s. And then all these bands were tripping out and writing songs or something. Because, yeah, I forgot about the Tea Party. Those guys were a little metaphysical for sure.
Oh, huge. They were kind of like a more trippy Doors.
Yeah, yeah.
But with better songs, I think. I'm not a Doors fan. Not a Doors fan, but that's okay. Lots of people love the Doors.
Oh, yeah, the Doors is doing fine without our fanship. They're okay. They're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yes, here. So when we're talking about best-selling, between 96 and 2016, so in that 20-year span, Our Lady Peace was the third best-selling Canadian band in Canada.
Oh, wow.
They've sold 7 million records worldwide.
That's impressive. So
I'm sure 6.8 of those were in Canada.
But, yeah, exactly. You know,
but yeah. And I guess their current guitar player, Steve Mazur, was chosen from entries to replace Mike Turner. So it sounds like they might have had some kind of a contest.
Oh, cool.
At that time. But I've tried to look up the specifics on that and I haven't seen anything. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, when you're talking about touring the States, getting Our Lady Peace out into the US, they did open up for Led Zeppelin. Let me say that properly. Page Implant and the Stones. So you get on that bill. That's pretty amazing.
Just the Stones alone, like the amount of people that are going to go that show, like the exposure is nuts.
Mm-hmm. Rain and his wife Chantel, who I mentioned earlier, they've also been doing pop songwriting for huge stars in the US. They've written songs for Pink, Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, and more. I did not know that till yesterday.
That's correct. I did not know that till this exact moment. I learned that right now. That is why it's good they're still active. I always wonder, because I don't know the music industry that well, but there's all these huge bands or singers or talents and they kind of disappear. And then if you look behind the curtain at the writing, producing, that's kind of where they end up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of songwriters venture out into writing for other artists and it can be a very good move, especially financially.
Yeah, I bet.
If you score a hit for someone else, internationally, it pays.
Yeah. Like if they Pink of that list stands out to me the most, cause I like Pink. And if they wrote a song and they got even a percentage of it, I could imagine they're laughing all the way to the bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially getting paid in U.S. dollars. Hoo-wee, that conversion is highly in their favor if they're living in Canada.
Oh, my goodness. Every time I go to the States, man, I keep going to all these concerts in the U.S. and it'd be like $700, it says on the website for the ticket. And then in Canadian, here, I'll just give you $500,000.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very lucky. I get the other way. I get paid in U.S. dollars. I tour in the U.S. a lot. So for U.S. listeners, look me up. That'd be great.
Awesome.
And when I get paid there, I come back. It's like a 20% bump. I'm like, ooh, this works very nicely for me.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
That's That's the stuff I like to hear. So also, they've won 10 Much Music Video Awards.
That makes sense.
The most MMVAs ever awarded to anybody. So they have the record.
Much Music was, like I said, Much Music was really behind them. Like, yeah. I don't know if Rain knew the owner's kid or something, but like they were very behind Much Music. Much Music was like really pumping up Our Lady Peace's tires.
Big time. I hope, you know, they've got to be extremely grateful for that.
Yeah, and 10 awards. That's amazing. Did they win any other international awards, do we know, or just Much Music? They said like 10 Much Music awards.
International, not so much. But no. Junos. Right. Junos to our U.S. listeners is the Canadian Grammy, essentially.
Yeah.
So they've won 4 of those. 2 Rock Album of the Year, 1 Group Award, and 1 Album Artwork Award.
That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they were definitely Much Music darlings.
So. Yeah, like... Even before you said that, I just remember that Much Music was always pumping them. So that's good.
The lead single off their 2022 album, Spiritual Machines 2, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And I haven't heard the song yet, but I think I should throw a clip of it into the end of the episode.
Yeah.
The song is called Stop Making Stupid People Famous.
Yeah, it's a good song. I just listened to it today.
Tell me about the lyrics.
Oh, I don't remember any. I literally just listened to it once, but it was fun. I was doing something else, but it was pretty cool. The album was, like I said, it's quite the departure from the earlier stuff, which it has to be. Artists have to grow and evolve and right. You don't want the same, like you don't want to, and I love this band, but I'm going to pick on them. You don't want like a Metallica situation where they're hammering the dead horse, right? Like you want to evolve and you might not enjoy the evolution of the band. That's maybe not for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm at with Spiritual Machines too. I put it on as like background noise. I'm like, this is okay. This is good chilling music. If I'm doing some yoga, maybe I could do this. But for like what I liked Our Lady Peace for was like the more rock intensive stuff, right? I had the same experience with a band called Breaking Benjamin, if you know what it is, where like their first album was just, it was like very heavy, like rocky stuff and then some slower stuff. And then they were like, oh, the slow stuff makes us popular. They decided to go that direction. And so I kind of fell off a little bit with them. That's same evolution with Our Lady Peace. At least, but over a much longer career.
Yeah. I understand why bands do it if they want to go commercial. But I mean, when I think of Breaking Benjamin, I think of like the Diary of Jane, you know.
Oh, that's a great song. Yeah.
Like that era, which was
For me, it's their first album, Polyhumorous, was my favorite. They were my favorite band for a while. Because, like, again, back then when they came out, there wasn't a lot of if you discovered something, you were like the person that brought it to your group, right? And so I had like, I was the Magellan of Breaking Benjamin for my group. And so I brought it, like, so they became my favorite band. So I'm like, oh yeah, because I discovered them. So look, they're awesome, right? I got like this weird loyalty to them because I heard them first.
Did you get that feeling where it's like, what was I going to say? Shit. I knew them back before anybody knew them.
Yeah, I definitely like could have a hipster curled my mustache. Oh, I've been listening to them way longer before they were cool.
Oh, it's been so nice talking to you, and especially talking about this band.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add before we end off the show today?
Yeah, for the international listeners, check out Canadian music. There's a lot of stuff out there you've probably never heard of. When we play DJ S'more songs, everybody's like, this song is great. Why wasn't it popular here? Because it's from a different country. Like, there are so many countries. Listen to music from all of them. But especially if you're just south of the border of us, there's a ton of great bands, great talent, great songwriting, amazing lyricists that you have not been exposed to that are just waiting for you. So check it out. Explore.
And now we're in a spot where it's that easy. It's in the palm of your hand. You have Spotify. You have Apple Music. You can just instantly find it. Not like it was back in the 90s.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, well, that was the best part. I'm like, oh, I wonder what Our Lady Peace is up to. I'm like, they released an album in 2022? Oh, geez.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Randy.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's probably going to be about a month or so. I've gone from every week to bi-weekly in the last few months.
Okay.
It was just getting too hard to do a weekly show. I'd been doing it for 3 years. And then I was like, okay, I need to slow down.
Yeah, I bet people who are listening to this, if this even makes the show, like, you don't know how much work goes into this. You probably think we just turn the mic on and go, but there's editing and booking. And if you saw behind the scenes of this, booking is challenging sometimes, right? So you got to book, you have to edit. There's so much work that goes into this. So if you're enjoying this show, like, tell people.
Tell people.
Yeah.
And thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Stop.
Social media, yeah, we've got it. Send us an email, dopenostalgiapodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, nostalgia dope. Or on Insta, dope_nostalgia.
This podcast is licensed by SoCan because we believe that artists should be paid for their work.